From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, we'll continue with the next chapter of our American Graduate Series, Generation One. First, though, to the physical toll of financial insecurity. Worrying about affording rent and groceries can be stressful, especially on the brains of kids growing up in poverty. The Momentous Institute is trying to reverse that. Michelle Kinder is the executive director of the nonprofit, which runs a school and two therapy programs in Dallas. As part of KERA's One Crisis Away initiative, she sat down with KERA's Courtney Collins.
Michelle Kinder, thanks for joining us.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
Poverty obviously shapes kids. What does it actually do to your brain?
What happens is that the amygdala, which is kind of the fear center, so that's that fight, flight, or freeze space, is overactive. And the prefrontal cortex, which is where you make good decisions and you are able to kind of inhibit yourself, that is underactive.
This damage, can you actually see it on an MRI?
You can see the difference of a brain of a child who's had their needs met and the brain of a child who has not had their needs met, both in like how much activity is happening and what part of the brain, and even in the size of different parts of the brain. It's a literal deprivation that goes on long term, not just in that time that it's happening, but long term there's effects unless we actively intervene.
I understand that infants are actually born hardwired with just a handful of emotions.
Yeah, I thought that was so interesting. And there's six of them, and I'm not going to remember all six off the top, but it's things like joy and disgust, surprise, fear. But then all the other emotions have to be taught. And what we're seeing in families who are struggling with all that comes with living in poverty is there's just not a lot of bandwidth available to spend that time helping kids learn that breadth of emotional response. I was hearing from someone that described it as, for the parents managing poverty, it's like walking around chronically as if you had no sleep the night before.
What kind of problems does this lead to in adulthood?
Self-regulation is an issue for adults, even after they maybe are in a very stable place financially if they grew up in poverty.
When you say self-regulation, do you mean controlling negative emotions, things like that?
Yeah, exactly. So like for us, self-regulation is the ability to manage your emotions, to calm yourself down, the ability to regulate your inner world despite what's coming at you from the outer world.
Is there a moment when you were working with a child when all of this just kind of hit home for you?
You know, I'm thinking of a little boy who's 4 years old, and he had been kicked out of three preschools, and his behavior looked like defiance. Our work became helping him learn to self-regulate and make sense of routines and make sense of how to calm himself. The very easiest tool we have is our breath. And so we teach our kids from the very beginning to use their breath as an anchor in times of stress. It's not enough to just teach the kid these skills. We also need teachers and daycare workers and parents to have a brain lens and a trauma lens on what they're looking at in terms of behavior. Because I'm going to interact very differently with a kid who's acting out if I think you're doing it on purpose, you're manipulative, you're defiant, whatever those stories are, versus if I'm looking at that same kid and I'm thinking, you have a different brain because of your early experiences and you're having a coping crisis.
Michelle Kinder, Executive Director of the Momentous Institute, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
For videos of the Momentous Institute in action, visit keranews.org. There's an innovative school in Fort Worth that's geared toward newly arrived middle and high school immigrant kids. In this week's installment of the American Graduate Series Generation One, Stella Chavez looks at how the International Newcomer Academy works.
At one table inside a sixth grade classroom, a boy from Afghanistan sits across from a couple of girls from Nepal. Next to them, a girl from Mexico. They're all working as a team.
This is where you show me if you can take what you remember from Monday, Tuesday, and earlier today, read in English, speak in English, and write in English, and work together to solve the puzzle.
That's teacher Jacqueline Santilli. She's explaining how to do what's known as a vocabulary jigsaw. The kids are in groups of four. Everyone gets a card containing a set of clues to help them figure out words. At this table, the phrase has something to do with demographics.
Two words, the first starts with a V.
B?
Yes, B.
When students interact with each other, they learn by hearing the information and sharing it. This exercise also builds empathy, Santilli says, because kids realize they're all going through the same struggle.
The second word starts with a R.
11-year-old Devani Lopez Fragoso reads the next clue. Finally, it clicks.
Birth rate.
Look. She's saying birth rate. Then a smile and a giggle. Just a few months ago, she and her family arrived from Monterrey, Mexico.
It's very good because when I come in, I don't know nothing of English, and now I know more.
Devani says school is different here. It's hard. She struggles with pronunciation. And she wishes she could see all of her relatives like she did in Monterrey. There is a bright side, though.
Because here the school is like good, and over there is...
She describes school there as ugly and talks about the lack of security. Here, she feels safe, and that's true of a lot of these 500 or so kids. A number of them are much older than usual for their grade. Ninth grader Yanette Hernandez, who's 18, arrived in March.
In Mexico, it's really bad, the situation, like economic, like the problem with the safe.
Over and over, these kids talk about safety. Yanette's mom didn't want her only daughter to come to the U.S. at first. Yanette tears up as she explains in Spanish.
Y mi mamá no quería que yo tuviera problemas.
Then, Yanette says, gunmen held up her mom's convenience store while they were both inside. They decided she'd be better off living with her aunt and uncle in Fort Worth. Amanda Bradley is the Dean of Instruction at the International Newcomer Academy.
We understand that they are coming from war-torn countries and that they have a story that they want to tell. And we try and make sure that we really recognize their culture, that they're adding something to our school, you know, and not just becoming an American, but also that they bring a lot with them.
Most of the kids just spend a year here before going to their local middle or high school. There are about a dozen or so newcomer programs in Texas and more than 60 in the country. Julian Vasquez-Heilig, a national education researcher, says a visit to the Fort Worth Academy convinced him that separate schools for immigrant students can work as long as they have high-quality teachers and innovative approaches.
And I was sitting at one of the tables, and there was dictionaries, 9 different dictionaries in 9 different languages stacked in the middle of the table.
This fall, teachers have been focusing on getting kids to pick up books on their own. In the first 6 weeks of the semester, 4,000 books were checked out compared to a few hundred last year. There are successes, but these kids have a long way to go. In the 2012-2013 school year, only 2 students out of 135 passed English 1 on the statewide STAR tests. Last school year, Principal Rodrigo Durbin says 11 did.
These are brand new students coming in, only been here 8 months, 9 months, and their expectation is they're going to pass 9th grade English 1. So it's very challenging, especially for our campus and then also those students.
Durbin says that's why the school gives these kids opportunities they never imagined would be possible in their native country, like thinking about going to college. Yanette Hernandez gets emotional when asked about her plans after high school.
Porque yo quiero ir a TCU.
After a visit to TCU, she brought home a memento with her name on it. It's hanging in her bedroom, a daily reminder of her ultimate goal. Stella Chavez, KERA News.